Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week, don't forget, this week's article is going to be, I'm going to republish my 4th of July article that I've been doing now for a few years. And so many of you have told me that you like it when I do that. And that's the one that's titled, We Began with Freedom. And it takes a look at how we got the freedom to be who we are, small business owners. And I go all the way back to the 12th century and bring it all the way up to modern times. So be sure to, if you haven't already, subscribe to the newsletter at my website. And it's free, as I said, and I think you'll like it. Dr. Carl Schramm is our guest. He's a new friend. He's president and chief executive officer of the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation in Kansas City, Missouri. And folks, you've heard me mention the Kauffman Foundation many times before when you've heard me talk about the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, which is the research that I've talked about that you've heard me talk about many times in the past. And I wanted to get Dr. Schramm on the show and to talk to us about entrepreneurship, not only in the United States, but worldwide. Dr. Schramm, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. And first, let me say, I have to say this in the bottom of my heart, as somebody who not only is an entrepreneur, but somebody who loves entrepreneurs and believes that entrepreneurs, that what's good for entrepreneurs is good for the world, I want to thank you and the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation for what you do to get the word out.
Why, thanks. You know, it's really quite extraordinary. Mr. Kauffman was a great entrepreneur.
Some people may not know who he was. Would you tell us a little bit about him?
Yes. He came back from World War II. He was in the Navy. He went to work for an insurance company. And he was very, very successful as a salesman. So successful that his commission income became more than the president of the company. And they called him in one day and said, you know, we're going to shrink your territory because you're making too much money. And he quit. And he had a fascination with, pharmaceuticals. He composed calcium pills in his basement. He ground up oyster shells. From
a home-based business.
Yep, it was a homemade business in the basement. Many of your women listeners have taken Oscal when they were pregnant.
Right.
That was his first drug. And he grew a huge company called Marion Laboratories. It's now part of Advinus.
Mm-hmm.
That was his huge achievement in his life. And, you know, all the foundations in the country were really started by entrepreneurs. We don't think about John D. Rockefeller as an entrepreneur or Andrew Carnegie. We think of them, you know, they took so much flack from Ida Tarbell and the Trustbusters and so forth. But Rockefeller was an extraordinary entrepreneur. He brought new technology to bear, you know, the refining technology, consolidated it. He invented technologies about distribution. Same thing, you know, we all know Carnegie took the huge advantages of the new open hearth approach.
Right. Henry Ford began his business in his garage.
Absolutely.
It literally was a home-based business. In fact, folks, if you remember, he had to knock out some parts of the doorways to get the first quadricycle out of the garage.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, few people remember that when he did all that, he had been an engineer for Detroit Edison Company.
Right.
That's who he used to work for.
Right.
But they were all entrepreneurs, but it was Mr. Kauffman who was the first entrepreneur who said, you know, the most important thing in my life was, in fact, my experience as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the first foundation established in history to pay attention to this extraordinary part of the American experience, how people become entrepreneurs. And Mr. Kauffman saw it very much like you did, Jim, I think, that, you know, it's important to freedom. And I was just reading, there's a brand-new book out by Martin Wolf, who's the chief economist at The Economist in London, called Why Globalization Works. And my heavens, he really tells the story about how, you know, communism fell and all the isms of the 20th century, fascism and, you know, the neo-nationalism movements and Nazism and so forth. And in the end, what's triumphed has been liberal capitalism.
Right.
And liberal capitalism, of course, is built on entrepreneurs. As we say at the foundation, every time an entrepreneur takes that risk, about 700,000 people do it every year in the United States, you know, democratic capitalism is reborn.
Absolutely. Dr. Schramm, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, Dr. Schramm had an article published in a magazine that you've heard me talk about, Foreign Affairs. The title is Building Entrepreneurial Economies. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. Twain Till, stay with us.
We're back up in the woods among the evergreens. There stood a long cabin made of earth and wood. Where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good. Who never...
We're back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 17 Till. We're visiting with our new friend, Dr. Carl Schramm, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation. And folks, that's kauffman.org, K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N-O-R-G. I encourage you to check that out. You will learn some things about what you do and what other people are doing around the world like what you do that I think you'll enjoy. I really believe you'll enjoy this, checking out that website. And especially, go to look at the on the top right of their website, the 2003 Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, which that's the research that I've been talking to you about now since the first one came out, I believe in 98 or 99. I saw that report, and Dr. Schramm, that really, really contributed an awful lot to me and to the way I think about entrepreneurship, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, for sure. That's our international comparisons of how active an economy is in terms of the number of entrepreneurs at work.
And that research essentially, folks, proved that there's a direct connection with economic vitality and the level of entrepreneurship in that economy. Right, Dr. Schramm?
Yes, indeed.
That was one of the main things that really was important to me. Dr. Schramm, your article in Foreign Affairs magazine, Building Entrepreneurial Economies, in that article you talk about something called the Washington Consensus. And I want you to talk to us about that.
Well, the Washington Consensus emerged in the last quarter century. And it's basically a view of, I would guess, economists who came to maturity in the immediate years after World War II, they saw a view that economies should be more centrally planned, and as a result, the focus on economic development was the construction of dams and infrastructure, roads and highways and so forth, and you know, strong central governments. In a sense, it was a sort of, as economists speak of these things, it was a statist society with a heavy emphasis on what the role of central government was in terms of economic development. So it's the Washington Consensus. The American economists had more to do with it than anybody else, and it's, in a sense, it's highly ironic that America would export a central planning model when we've never had a central planning model. We got pretty close to it in the 60s and 70s, one of the reasons our economy slowed down so
Except with price
thoroughly.
Controls and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but the thing that you pointed out is the problem, the deficiency with the Washington Consensus was that it failed to reproduce it. What here, I'm using your words here, it fails to reproduce a vital element of the U.S. economy. The thing, and I'm not quoting him now, folks. The thing that makes this country what it is, and that is support for entrepreneurship, and that is a direct quote.
Yeah, you know how this happened, Jim, is economists almost never see entrepreneurs. They don't see them. And as I say in the book,
think we're like a myth to them or something?
Well, yeah. You know, well, here's a great quote. You know, there's a wonderful economist by the name of William Baumol, He's just enormously important, and he's the only major living economist who's paid much attention to this. And he once said in the American Economic Review that when we study the American economy, we pay no attention to the entrepreneur. He said it's like going to watch Hamlet, but there's no prince in the play, okay? And I thought it was, you know,
that's a great story.
It's a great quote, isn't it?
Well, see, I agree with you, because what I've said, and you said this in your article, that entrepreneurs are underappreciated. Mm-hmm. And it's true, and people ask me, you know, and if you look at the news, look at the news media, there's mm-hmm. not one single program on television that I know of that's dedicated to small business or entrepreneurship on television. I'm talking about on a national base. Maybe there's there's something in an obscure channel somewhere. But basically, and let me ask you this: watch the news. Do you ever see anything reported about small business? And yet, we sign about 60 million, the fronts of about 60 million paychecks every Friday.
Oh yes, indeed. I think the only exception is once in a while. I think on MSNBC. They have a reporter who comes in once a week to talk about some brand new product or something, and
yeah.
often they're the invention of small businesses, entrepreneurs.
Right. But, usually what happens though is they say, "Now for our small business report," and they go to the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back into your discussion. What do you think? Tell us what you think we should be doing to help export entrepreneurship across the world.
Well, I think we're doing a better job of it, but and the reason that has been the case is I think other countries have come to the United States and they've said, what has happened here? You know, this place
right.
has been totally revitalized in 20 years. What happened? I was just in England the other day, and, you know, you can't go to London anymore and not say, wow, this place is radically different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very, very vibrant. Well, one reason is the government, and I had a chat with the Chancellor of the Exchequer, has paid a huge amount of attention to the importance of entrepreneurs. And the flow of people to the United States trying to study our economy has increased hugely. And they've got, it's funny that the outsiders, people from other countries, have put their finger on the distinctive part of the modern growth of the American economy. They know it's entrepreneurs, and they know need more of them back home.
Absolutely. Stand by, Dr. Schramm. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our new friend, Dr. Carl Schramm, the president and the CEO of the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation. That website, by the way, folks, is kauffman.org. That's two Fs, too, by the way. Stand by. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Carl Schramm. He's the president of the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation, and that website is kauffman.org. And I encourage you to check out the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. And folks, if you remember, Patty Green, Dr. Patricia Green was on the show a while back, a couple of times actually, I think, and she's one of the folks who at Babson College, who has been part of the Babson College has been one of your partners in this monitor, haven't they, Dr. Schramm?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, good folks over there. They got a good entrepreneurship program there. You define in your article in the Foreign Affairs magazine. By the way, folks, that's the July August edition of Foreign Affairs. Dr. Schramm's article is called Building Entrepreneurial Economies. You talk about a four-factor model. Four-sector model, I should say. Would you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yes, Jim. The whole basis of this article says if you take a careful look at the American economy, you see entrepreneurship in four places. And this is really the guts of the article, because it says if you want to replicate the American economy on an entrepreneurial basis, you have to understand these four places. We all know about the high-growth entrepreneurs. That's what everybody aspires to. They want to start a business and get to scale and maybe have it really take off. And that is a part of the American economy we don't understand well. We're putting a lot of research in to understand that, also by way of, you know, demonstration programs at Kauffman. But the hidden parts of entrepreneurship in the American economy are in large businesses. I'll take, for example, Johnson & Johnson. But you could fill in here General Electric.
Right.
Certainly IBM has become hugely more entrepreneurial
they
in
have.
The last few years. You know,
Many of their employees are teleworkers. They work from home.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that if you're not entrepreneurial.
You know, I had a phone call from their chief technologist the other day. And, you know, the question was, do you know that over half of our sales don't involve any equipment at all? We sell brains.
That's right.
Okay. And it's, you know, they have to have entrepreneurial brains to be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really important is that the large companies now are absorbing high-growth entrepreneurial companies. Much of this, certainly everybody knows this in the drug area, that the importance of independent laboratories started by small businesses
mm-hmm.
and entrepreneurs are much more important anymore to the flow of new drug products than, in a comparative basis, than the internal laboratories at the companies.
Well, and the reason for that, pardon me, Dr. Schramm, and you point this out in your article, is, and you didn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way, when a company becomes huge, creativity is a rare commodity.
Yes, they become hugely bureaucratic.
You talk about that
in
your article.
But we're figuring that out, you know, and a lot of big companies are trying very hard to have entrepreneurial cultures emerge. That's a great part of, I think, what's going on in the big story in America,
mm-hmm.
is these larger companies are understanding the value of an entrepreneurial culture, if you will.
Right.
Now the sort of third area where people never expect to see entrepreneurs, and some of your radio listeners will probably turn us off now, is that there are people in government, and there are governmental programs that are really entrepreneurial.
And where do those two people live?
Well, you know, people, you know, often say, "Oh, government's all bureaucrats," and obviously, that is a wrap on government that has a huge foundation. In fact, there are pockets of government that are critical to the American entrepreneurial economy.
Right.
DARPA is clearly one of them. The Defense Department, where they do all the innovations in terms of acquisitions. The National Institutes of Health support every major university in the country. They are the single largest source of laboratory money.
Well, Department of Commerce is
uh-huh.
helpful to entrepreneurs, especially who want to export. The SBA is very helpful.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are evidences of that,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, two words don't go together, an entrepreneurial government, but
right.
there are pockets where there is no doubt about it.
Right.
And, of course, the fourth area is how important our universities have become in terms of the home of an enormous amount of research that gets commercialized.
Right.
Now,
technology transfer primarily.
Exactly. By the way, Kauffman's doing an awful lot of work in exactly that area.
Good
How do you get
you.
Better ideas out of universities and into the hands of entrepreneurs? It's one of the key issues in the economy up ahead.
Okay? Dr. Schramm, I have to stop because we're coming up on the end of the visit. I wanted to just say a couple of things. I want to get you back on the show again real soon and talk some more about this because this is very important. I think this will open up the eyes of some folks because we need to talk about how small businesses who listen to the show can plug into these large companies, universities, and government to get more business out of them. But
uh-huh.
but we got to wrap it up, and I want to give you a website at one more time, folks. That's Kauffman, with a K and two Fs, .org. Thank you, Dr. Schramm, for being here. Thanks for all you do at Ewing, Mary, and Kauffman Foundation, and we're looking forward to seeing you again real soon.
My pleasure, Jim, and the article is up on the Foreign Affairs website as well.
Thank you for reminding us about that. That's I appreciate that.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.